Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Hort Week podcast. I'm Hort Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with Alistair Yeomans, who's been with Plant Healthy since it started. Now, Plant Healthy is the biosecurity standard for UK businesses. So, hello, Alistair. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, Matthew. I hope you're well too, and thank you very much for asking me to speak on the podcast today.
Well, thanks for coming along. Now, how would you describe Plant Healthy? What is it?
Well, Plant Healthy is a certification scheme, but importantly, it's based on a standard, which is called the Plant Health Management Standard. And effectively, that's a proactive tool or a systems approach. So multiple measures to help businesses and organizations who move plants, manage plants, trade them, to manage the threats from plant biosecurity or notifiable pests that we are becoming increasingly aware of as a potential problem to the UK.
Great. So what's your day-to-day role there? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the governing body of the Plant Healthy Certification Scheme is the Plant Health Alliance. So a lot of my work has been working with the chair of the Plant Health Alliance, Sir Nicholas Bacon, and effectively trying to ensure that we have a broad church of organizations that agree and back the Plant Health Management Standard, and then effectively rolling out the scheme, as I say, which is based on the standard, to organizations and businesses that we believe are relevant, and we hope that it will help and support their trading and plant handling activities.
Oh, great. Okay. So the Plant Health Alliance, that's got DEFRA, obviously, but a lot of membership and trade bodies, RHS, HGA, about 20 altogether. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, that's about right. Yeah, and as I say, we've tried to be as inclusive as possible, and we really do need that broad church of organisations because, you know, the threat from plants isn't just, or plant pests isn't just a horticulture issue. It's also farming and forestry. Effectively, anything to do with plant movements, also landscaping and arboriculture culture. So we have that sort of breadth in terms of the organisational interest in the Alliance.
So how do you apply for Plant Healthy certification? How does applications work?
Well, the first thing is to go to the website. That's planthealthy.org.uk. And you can do a self-assessment. So it's a free-to-use self-assessment. It's approximately 30 questions. It's based specifically on the Plant Health Management Standard requirements. And that gives you a score of where your business or organization is at in terms of their plant biosecurity standards, as I say, based on the requirements of the Plant Health Management Standard. Once there's plenty of guidance along the way as well, and once you feel that your organization or business is at 100%, or you know, really on top of the various requirements, and then you can make an application to one of the certification bodies.
Okay. Now, I see that on the pending list, there's a few nurseries, and on the list of people who have got the requirement, there are over 40. So, in terms of people who are pending, who might get into it, what's the sort of scope there? What's the potential?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, as you can probably see, there's a lot of nurseries on the certified list. And it was really the nurseries, the growers that sort of kicked off this initiative in the first instance. But it became apparent quite quickly after that that it wasn't just a grower issue. It was you know, plant health or plant biosecurity is an issue that extends right across the plant supply chain. So the word scope is exactly right. And the other scopes are the likes of retailers, landscapers, and public gardens. And we have a number of public gardens interested in becoming certified at the moment, as long as several retailers as well. So, and quite a number of growers too. So yes, we have a variety of organisations that are looking to become certified.
Do you think there's many more growers in the UK which might still apply, or do you think you've got most of them now?
I think there'll be quite a few more growers. And one of the things that we have to do as the Plant Health Alliance is ensure that it's adoptable as possible. And when I say adoptable, that's making sure that we provide the best information to enable people to understand what is required to become certified. And also there's an affordability issue as well. You know, we have to send assessors out to businesses to do the annual audit, and there's a cost with that. And one of the things we obviously want to try and do is look at ways as how, you know, how we can actually minimize that cost, be it through making the audits more efficient, which tends to be what happens when a new scheme is set up. You know, effectively the auditors become much clearer on what they need to do, and indeed the members have their systems in place, so there's a potential for the audit to become more efficient, or indeed setting up novel schemes such as group schemes where a number of businesses can come together and they can have an internal auditor that then only requires the square root of that group to be audited by an external auditor. But these are all developments that are in place to, you know, try and make it as adoptable as possible.
Yeah, I was talking to a member the other day, a certified nursery, and they said, you know, that they think that unless everybody's involved in plant healthy, there's going to be gaps, and it only takes one nursery importing, say, a Xylella risk plant, then the whole thing falls down. So how do you get around that?
Yeah, it's the issue. And I think there's no point sort of ducking the issue. At the end of the day, we're dealing with a wicked problem, or what some would call a wicked problem. It certainly has all the hallmarks of it, which is we can only really improve the situation rather than fully solve it. And the more people that get on board, the more the risk is minimized. And of course, one of the things that we're finding is that the people who are becoming plant healthy certified, or the businesses and organizations that are becoming plant healthy certified, are asking similar of their suppliers. So there's this sort of mimetic spread. I don't want to use the word viral, but for obvious reasons, but there's this sort of mimetic spread of people being encouraged or nudged to join the scheme, or at least up their standards of plant biosecurity. So, you know, I think that can only be a good thing.
So it's the customers of the nurseries that are driving it, do you think?
I think it's the nurseries. I think it's I think it actually started with the nurseries, who will go back and ask some of their suppliers. So recently, well, at Four Oaks, I was actually tapped on the shoulder by a growing media supplier, and they said, what have you been up to? We've had plenty of nurseries asking us for our biosecurity policy for our growing media. And I said, look, I'm terribly sorry. I said, it's just one of the areas of threat that we've identified, particularly on the sort of things like Plasmodium and Phytophthora. And they said, oh, no, it's great. It's really sort of made us up our game. And, you know, that's really how good standards and schemes should work. It starts to seek out where the risks are and then hopefully enable people to do something about it so that we can have that breadth of assurance that covers the supply chain, really from sort of the cradle in terms of the production of plants and the constituent elements that are used all the way through to in the landscape.
What do you think the biggest specific risks or threats are?
Yes, that's a good question. I looked at it in various ways. Certainly, personally, the thing that turned my head was ash dieback. I was working in forestry at the time, and then very quickly saw the issue with Xylella. I was actually doing some tree work in Mallorca and read about it in the bacterial pathogen in the Olive Oil Times and thought, wow, this is potentially devastating. And then obviously realized that it wasn't just olive trees or indeed almond trees that have been very badly hit in Mallorca. It was, a number of ornamental plants, you know, garden favorites such as rosemary and lavender. And I think the host list is over 600 plants now. So I think Xylella is an issue, but there's plenty of others. And we know there's 1,400 or over 1,400 pests on the UK Plant Health Risk Register. And what we've tried to do with the Plant Health Management Standard is try and make that a manageable exercise in terms of assessing the risk to a business or an organization by focusing in on what we have identified as the 39 most potentially harmful or impacting pests of the UK. And that's the 22 GB priority pests that includes things like Xylella and rose rosette virus, plain wilt, OPM, so oak processionary moth, and then another 17 pests which have a mitigated risk rating of 60 and above. And those are pests that probably haven't had so much sort of press, but they still seem to be. And, you know, they've been assessed for risk as having a high risk level even after regulatory measures are in place. And those are pests like Candidatus phytoplasma solanei that, you know, has lavender as one of its hosts, for example, and the two-line chestnut borer, which obviously can impact chestnut, as its names would suggest, but also oak, and there's oak lace bug in that. So, you know, there's quite a number of pests that perhaps we don't quite realize are as threatening as they are. But one thing I will say is that the UK Plant Health Risk Register is a really excellent resource. And if used properly, and we hope we've supplied some useful information or useful template to get people started on it, to really understand what the threat is to a particular business or organisation.
Do you think the Xylella will ever reach the UK? I was talking to a Dutch grower the other day, and he was saying, you know, it was huge alarm about it a few years ago, but it's never reached the UK. So do you think it will ever happen?
I just hope not. I just hope we can do absolutely everything we can to prevent it from doing so. I think it was it in 2018 or 2019? It seemed to go from Portugal through to Holland and up to Denmark. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was an article in the Hort Week at the time about it. And so I think the threat really is there. I think it's a very real threat because it is such a cryptic disease. You know, it's so hard to identify. It can be asymptomatic, or and if it is symptomatic, those symptoms can take a few years to emerge. So all I can say is I hope not, and I believe that by putting some fairly straightforward plant health or plant biosecurity measures in place, that I don't think they won't just be benefit in terms of protecting, you know, one's own site, one's own business or organization and customers and the wider countryside, but I also think they will have inherently other quality benefits as well, that I think we can do a good job of protecting ourselves. And, you know, being vigilant is important, and, you know, really making that part of the culture of being a gardener or a forester. And I should say, I'm not a plant health specialist or a plant biosecurity specialist. I'm first and foremost a gardener or horticulturalist or woodsman or forester, however you want to call it. And I was once in my younger years an arborist as well. I trained and became certified in the States. And, you know, I think now any horticulturalist or forester or any plants person, I believe, should have a strong grasp of plant biosecurity as a string to their bow to basically work with plants.
Now, that's a good point. People often point out or say that they are taking the most vigilant efforts, but some people, they often cite internet sellers or direct-to-site importers who they say just don't care. So how do you include them in the standard?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're very lucky on the Plant Health Alliance. Perhaps it's by design. And I think design is such an important and often overlooked concept when you're setting up systems. But we obviously work closely with DEFRA, as you've mentioned already, and the Forestry Commission and APHA and the third sector and the trade. And I think by working with those three sectors together, then hopefully we can start to reach out and include some of these other traders that may be considered more marginal. And it will take a combined effort, and it will take, you know, a degree of empathy as well, because it's very easy to point fingers. But ultimately, what we want to be doing is supporting people and helping them see if they are doing something that is highly risky, is to, you know, try and, you know, make a good case and work with them to reduce that risk. And I think that's really important.
No, brilliant. And what do you think the future is for Plant Healthy? What's next for you?
Yeah, good question. I hope we can continue to just create a system that is effective. At the end of the day, you know, schemes, assurance standards, and, you know, sort of accredited certification schemes, I get it. I understand it. They can be very useful mechanisms to you know, help businesses demonstrate compliance with a particular standard. But for me, the at the heart of the initiative is the Plant Health Management Standard, that set of requirements. And that set of requirements, it absolutely has to be a useful set of tools that really are adoptable and applicable and do the job. And to ensure that we have the best measures in place, we really need to work closely with the research community and basically link the research community with practitioners and have that knowledge exchange, not just knowledge transfer, so from researchers to practitioners, but also back the way as well. And that exchange process and managing that hopefully will really help us hone what is the best voluntary and regulatory plant biosecurity procedures that we can put in place.
That's great. Thanks for all that, Alistair. We've covered a lot of ground there, but in the Hot Week podcast, we always end up by asking one simple question, and it is, what's your favourite plant? What plant would you take with you to a desert island?
I've heard I've listened to lots of the podcasts, and I think they're brilliant. So thank you very much for inviting me to speak today. I think I'll have to say the same as most of the others. I have a favorite plant every day. What I will say is the last plant that really made me stand back and marvel at it was a Magnolia cobus in Glenarn Garden, which is just around the corner from where I've recently moved to. And that was stunning. But I think I would probably take a functional plant. So I think one of your arborist guests suggested an apple tree. I think I'll go with an apple tree, perhaps a Worcester Pomain, which I have having a garden in Oxford, and something that just gives me great joy in pruning it, watching it flower each year, and of course enjoying the fruit. So yeah, I'll go with an apple tree.
Great choice. I think that's what I'd choose too.
I was actually going to ask you, what would you choose? But you've answered it for me, an apple tree.
Well, it's got to be apple tree, because that's my surname is Apple. So it's got to be. I mean, what else could it be? So it's got to be. That's my only reasoning. But anyway, thanks very much, Alistair. That's the first time anyone's asked me a question on a Hot Week podcast. So that's brilliant. Oh, well. And thanks very much for appearing. And I'm Matthew Appleby, the Hot Week editor, and this is the Hot Week podcast. So subscribe to or follow Hot Week podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. And once again, thanks, Alistair, and goodbye till next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.